Jayaradha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jayaradha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Varadhari. Yashodanandana, Vajjanarandana. Yashodanandana, Vajjanarandana. Yamunatira, Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Varadhari. Yashodanandana Vajja Jana Ranjana. Yashodanandana Vajja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. 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 Jaya Radha Shama Sundara, Radha Shama Sundara. Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Mishnupad Paramahamsa Parivada Gacharya Sutra Sri Srimad Abhachana Arvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Premsa Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jai Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Well, today is the holy appearance day of Sri Advaita Acharya. And we're going to be reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Adi Leela, chapter 6. First, we're going to read texts 4 and 5, which I'll read alone. And then together we'll read verse 12. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So I'm going to read this alone. Mahavishnu jagatkarta mayaya yakshijatyadaha tasya avataram evayam advaita acharya mishwaraha. Translation. Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. Text 5. Advaitang harinadvaitad acharyang bhakti sangshanat bhaktavataramishamtam advaitacharyamashraye. Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotees. Therefore I take shelter of him. Text 12. So please repeat. Jagad Mangala Advaita Mangala Guna Dhamma. Jagat Mangala Advaita Mangala Guna Dhamma. Mangala Charitra Siddha Mangala Yara Nama. Just a note of pronunciation, the N in the second line in the word Yara is hardly pronounced. When there's a dot over it, it's just a kind of nasal squeeze, like Yara. Right, Prabhu?
Yara.
Thank you. Mangala Charitra Sada Mangala Yara Nama. Jagad Mangala Advaita Mangala Guna Dhamma. Magala Charitra Sada Magala Yara Nama. Jagad Mangala Advaita Mangala Guna Dhamma. Magala Charitra Sada Magala Yara Nama. Please chant.
Jagata Mangala Daita Mangala Guna Dhamma.
ladies. Jagat Mangala, all auspiciousness to the world. Advaita, Advaita Acharya. Mangala Guna Dhamma, the reservoir of all auspicious attributes. Mangala Charitra, all characteristics are auspicious. Sada, always. Mangala, auspicious. Yara Nama, whose name? Translation. Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious to the world, for he is a reservoir of all auspicious attributes. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. Purport. Sri Advaita Prabhu, who is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, is an Acharya or teacher. All his activities and all the other activities of Vishnu are auspicious. Anyone who can view the all auspiciousness in the pastimes of Lord Vishnu becomes also auspicious simultaneously. Therefore, since Lord Vishnu is the fountainhead of auspiciousness, anyone who is attracted by the devotional service of Lord Vishnu can render the greatest service to human society. Rejected persons of the material world who refuse to understand pure devotional service as the eternal function of the living entities and as actual liberation of the living being from conditioned life, become bereft of all devotional service because of their poor fund of knowledge. In the teachings of Advaita Prabhu, there is no question of fruitive activities or impersonal liberation. Bewildered by the spell of material energy, however, persons who could not understand that Advaita Prabhu is non-different from Vishnu wanted to follow him with their impersonal conceptions. The attempt of Advaita Prabhu to punish them is also auspicious. Lord Vishnu in his activities can bestow all good fortune directly and indirectly. In other words, being favored by Lord Vishnu and being punished by Lord Vishnu are one and the same because all activities of Vishnu are absolute. According to some, Mangala was another name of Advaita Prabhu. As the causal incarnation of Lord Vishnu's or Lord Vishnu's incarnation for a particular occasion, he is the supply agent or ingredient in material nature. However, he is never to be considered material. All his activities are spiritual. Anyone who hears about and glorifies him becomes glorified himself, for such activities free one from all kinds of misfortune. One should not invest any material contamination or impersonalism in the Vishnu form. Everyone should try to understand the real identity of Lord Vishnu, for by such knowledge one can attain the highest perfection of life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So what we're going to do is, I'm going to speak briefly on this, and then Mother Harinam will speak briefly, and then we'll narrate some pastimes. Om Agyanati Midandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhi Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Panchakalpa Tarubhascha Kripa Sindhubhyevcha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Bachalam Pangum Langai Tegidim Jat Kripa Tamahang Bande Shigurum Dinataranam. I'd like to point out that the Vaishnav modus operandi, the procedure that devotees follow, is to first establish the ontology of a person and then speak about the pastimes. This is very, very evident in Vaishnavism. We know that Shukadeva Goswami went at great lengths to establish exactly who Krishna is before he began to describe his pastimes. And all his audience were very, very elevated devotees and transcendentalists. But he didn't assume anything. And for the benefit of the world, he established the ontological position of Krishna first. Ontology means is a branch of metaphysics which describes the its existential, the being, what is the nature of the being of a person, essentially. And Krishna does the same thing in Bhagavad Gita. He reminds Arjuna, or he tells Arjuna who he is first, before asking him to surrender, even. And the same thing we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, this helps us to, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta also, very much so, in the Gaudiya Math, we learn that even on festival days, he would speak philosophy, mainly, and he trained up his preachers to do the same thing. The mind wants Atmano manyate jagat. This is a tendency of the mind whereby we want everyone to be on the same level as us. So, you know, we have Advaita Acharya, well, he's a member of the Panchatattva and he's not the principal member, and so the mind doesn't want to think about it so much, exactly who he is. So, I'm suggesting that on his appearance day, first thing we do is make it very clear who he really is. And Srila Prabhupada goes to great lengths to do this in his purports, as does Krishnas Kaviraj. First, they point out that, to start at the very beginning, point out that material nature is not its own cause. This we know, but it's not that we have this Tandula Bhishika Nyaya, the philosophy, the logic of the scorpions and rice. There was a grain vendor sitting in a back street bazaar one time with a pile of rice beside him, and all of a sudden this scorpion started crawling out of the rice. So he developed this Tandula Bhishika Nyaya. He said that, oh, the rice is the source of birth of the scorpions. Similarly, some people say that material nature doesn't have another cause. But Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita firmly establishes, first he says, parastasmattu bhavanyo byakto byaktat sanatana. There is another nature. You see this cosmos of dead matter, but there is another nature. And when all in this world is destroyed, that part remains as it is. So, Krishna then says,
that Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti. I am the superintendent of material nature. Superintend, this word intendere is a Latin word. It means to extend one's thoughts towards or to form a plan or purpose. So Krishna points out that he is the superintendent of the material nature. And Maya has two aspects, efficient and the material cause. These are Pradhan and Maya. So Krishna has these forms, Mahavishnu and Advaita. Mahavishnu enacts or enlivens the efficient cause of material nature. And Advaita, he takes care of Pradhan. He is the supplier of material ingredients. So practically what that means is Mahavishnu glances. His glance is laden with life, with the jiva. He glances at material nature, impregnates the jivas in the womb of material nature, and then he expands himself again as Advaita, same person. And Advaita creates the cosmos. Advaita Acharya is the creator of the cosmos, of the material world. He does this he then expands as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. He is Lord Narayan, as Shiradakshaya Vishnu. This is who Advaita Acharya is. And some people, you know, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it's all accommodating. So some people say that God is an old man with a white beard. And we say, yes, he is. And here he is. So these the expansions of Krishna, Krishnadas Kaviraj points out that the expansions of Krishna, they have the same potency. And Lord Brahma makes this point also. He says, Dipachyare vishantaram abhyupetya. Dipayate vipitahetu samana dharma. Yastadrige vahicha vishnu tayabhati govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. He says, the light of one candle. Though it burns separately in its expansions. You'll say now, oh, he's trying to be smart. But this is Lord Brahma, and he is very smart. So the original candle, although it burns separately in its expansions, it is the same in quality. The quality is the same. The heat and light which come from this original candle. And if you can't see, if you can only hear, I'm holding two candles. One was lit from the other. One is the Ishvara Parama Krishna, the Ekale Ishvara Krishna, the Param Brahma, who is Parasya Shaktir Bividaiva Shuryate, the source of all energies. He has expanded himself. And the expansion has exactly the same light and heat as the original. So we should not minimize, we should not allow the mind to minimize the incarnations and expansions of Krishna. They are called plenary portions. Plenary comes from Latin, plenus, which means full. They are full expansions. They are fully empowered. So therefore, Advaita Acharya Mahashraya, we take shelter of, he is not Durashraya like this material world. He is the Ashraya. And we can find full shelter there. So the expansions of Krishna, we have to see like an actor on a stage. He always, rule number one, don't be on the stage unless you have an intention and a purpose. They are driven by a purpose. You have to understand when you're acting what you're doing there. So what is the purpose of the incarnations of Krishna? The answer is Krishna Seva. From Balaram on, It is only Krishna Seva. That's the relish. And the statement is there that the conception of Krishna Seva generates such an ocean of joy in the soul that the so-called happiness of Kaivalya, even if you multiply by 10 million times, it doesn't even equal one drop of the pleasure derived from Krishna Seva. This is Balaram's relish. He expands as Shankarshan, then as Mahasankarshan, then as Mahavishnu, Advaita, so on. Everybody, even the inhabitants of Vrindavan, their relish is Krishna Seva. Nanda Maharaj, the gopis and gopas, Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gopi Bhatu Padakamalayo, Das Das Anudas. He came to relish Krishna Seva. And Advaita Acharya, now we're going to turn to chapter 6, verse 86, to see what is the heart and soul of Advaita Acharya. Please repeat after me. Chaitanya Radasamui, Chaitanya Radas, Chaitanya Radasamui, Chaitanya Radas, Chaitanya Radasamui, Tara Dasel Das. Again, the pronunciation is not Muni like a Muni, it's Mui. There's practically no N. And Tara is also not much N. Chaitanya Radasa Mui, Chaitanya Radas. Chaitanya Radasa Mui, Tara Dasel Das. Chaitanya Radasa Mui, Chaitanya Radas. Chaitanya Radasa Mui, Tara Dasel Das. Translation, I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, a servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, and a servant of his servants. Please repeat, à haute voix, which means loud. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya.
I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya.
A servant of Lord Chaitanya.
A servant of Lord Chaitanya.
I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya. And a servant of his servants.
Hare
Krishna. So this Advaita Acharya appeared in the service of Lord Chaitanya. He invited Krishna to come. His appearance is not like ours. Karmana Daivanetrena Jantur Deho Papataye. That we're forced by our previous karma and under the organization of the demigods to take on a body. By his own sweet will, he is appearing. And even though we understand now the qualification, the ontology of Advaita Acharya, what he can do, this planet which we're sitting on is coming from him. And despite his supremacy, he becomes a humble servant. And so what to speak of us? We won't give up our supremacy to become a humble servant. So why all these incarnations are serving, are teaching Krishna Seva and showing Krishna Seva? Because this is exactly our problem. Krishna Bhuli, we forgot Krishna. Krishna Bhuli Seji Vanadir Bahirmukh. Because we forgot Krishna, therefore Bahirmukh. Bahirmukh means extrospection, means looking at things which are outside of the self. But we learn from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jiva Swarupai Krishna Nityanast. Our very nature is that we are servants of Krishna. We can never be not servants of Krishna. We're still servants of Krishna, but we're serving in this state of Krishna bhuli, forgetfulness. It's not that sadhya kabunai, this tendency for devotional service, it's not something that you get from outside yourself. It's within. We actually have that energy eternally. It's just in a diseased state now. You go to a university to learn something from outside yourself, a skill or a science which you don't have. You don't know anything about it. It's not intrinsic to the soul, what you learn, what you get your bachelor's, your PhD for. But Krishna Seva, it is intrinsic. It's natural to every single living being. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhu Kabunai. You don't have to look anywhere else. It's there in the heart. And by a certain process, and when we take up devotional service, it's so strong that Sarvapadi Binir Muktam, everything else that we think we are, it flees like when you turn the light on. All darkness and ghosts and thieves, they flee, they're gone. All other labels, whatever we think we are, by executing devotional service, they're gone. And we then know that all I have to do is devotional service. Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma kritahai. By Krishna bhakti kaile, by executing devotional service, I don't have to do sarva karma, all these other, whatever other duties. Sarvadhanam parichudya. Give up all these other duties. Just surrender to me. Just serve me, says Krishna says. Krishna says. Because he's doing everything. We only have to please him. And when we turn to him like this, Krishna is very pleased. He's pleased if we make some effort to follow the Vedas. Like he says in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nasadayati mam yogo nasankyam dharma udhava. Nasvajayastapastyago. Yata bhaktir mamorjita. You cannot please me as much by all these things. If you become very learned in the Vedas, if you do so many big, big austerities, if you become expert in yoga, Svayastapastyago, Yatya Bhakti, and one other one. As much as you can by bhakti. And bhakti means service, rendering devotional service to me. Iha jasya hare dasye kamana manasagida. You become free even within this world. And Bhaktivinoda says, Jeev Krishna das e bishvas toraliko ar dukanai. If you just have this faith, what am I? I am a servant of Krishna. If you just have this faith, then your miseries, this faith, this realization will bring you above the miseries. Because it doesn't matter. If Krishna is the supreme controller and you're his servant, it doesn't matter about the miseries. All things must pass. I will be protected. Rakshamam, Pahimam. I will be maintained and protected. So this is Advaita's gift. He saw the Kali Yuga. He knew that devotional service was lacking. And he came to teach by practicing. So that's all I'm going to say. And it's just, I heard something very interesting the other day, which I'm sure none of you have heard before. The translation of the Maha Mantra. It goes, O my Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your devotional service. I was amazed when I heard that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Bible. So, Kalyapani Prabhu was speaking about Sri Advaitacharya's mercy, his compassion. And so there is, we have these appearance days which are coming one right after the other. So we're beginning now with Sri Advaitacharya. And as Prabhu was saying, we do have this tendency to minimize. We have so many to-do lists. Oh, and by the way, we've given special permission to go overtime. So we thought since it's Saturday and we're always so busy with our to-do lists that maybe we could just invest a little extra time. So we're not going to end just at 9 o'clock. We do have till 9:30. If anybody has to leave, we understand. So our tendency is to come in sort of a dutiful way. Oh, it's Advaitacharya, Prabhu's appearance day. We should show up at the temple and offer some flowers. And then, you know, I've been busy all week and I really need to clean out the garage. And then I really, you know, need to spend time with the kids and catch up on my email. So Radhana Swami made a wonderful point. He said, at the end of each month, we take the page of the calendar, we crumple it up, and we throw it away. And all those days, all those hours, we can never get back again. They're gone. So he said something very wonderful. He said, these appearance days are divine. The Lord, his incarnations, his servants, they have appeared. They are with us. And their magnanimity, their love for us, it's all here. And we can access even more on these very special days. And if we take the time to put aside some of our to-do lists for these special days and go inside and really, really go deep and see where is it that we're having challenges in our devotional service? What obstacle can we pray to these great personalities who came out of their mercy to assist us in getting beyond? So when the Lord comes, his associates come first, and they prepare the way. So we have these great personalities coming down, and we can spend time over the next few weeks meditating. You know, it begins today, and then Lord Nityananda's appearance day, and then the glorious appearance day of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the most merciful of all incarnations. So in the spiritual world, when this Kali Yuga had begun, Sadashiva, the original form of Lord Shiva, he was sitting in meditation. He was so disturbed. You know, sometimes we have disturbing things that happen in our society. We go to some authority and we say, you know, I'm trying to chant. My mind is so disturbed. I just heard this. I just heard that. And I'm so worried. You know, what's going to happen? What can we do? So Sadashiva approached Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu could see that he was concerned. He said, what is the difficulty? He said, oh, my Lord, my heart is so saddened. I'm seeing the people of Kali Yuga and I'm seeing they don't have any tendency, not a drop for your devotional service. And I just don't see how they're going to be delivered. So Mahavishnu said, I have a secret to tell you. So there is a wonderful incarnation coming, golden form. He's going to deliver everyone, qualified, unqualified. Everyone will get their deliverance. His name is Gauranga. Let us chant the name of this auspicious, merciful, all-compassionate incarnation. So they began to chant, Gauranga. Gauranga, 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 Gauranga. And well, what happened is they went into such ecstasy, they fell into each other's arms and they merged as one. And the Lord said, we will come down together in this form and it will be called Advaita. And we will witness these divine pastimes and we will also take part in them. So that was the very beginning of one of the reasons of the Lord's Sri Advaita coming down and the Lord's descent. So another interesting point is that it speaks in Chaitanya Charitamrita that if the Lord in his incarnations had exhibited their powerful status as Vishnu Tattva, that it would have increased the problems of impersonalists and monists and self-worshippers who are already under the spell of the illusory energy in this age of Kali. And so they play the part of devotees to instruct all of us how to approach this transcendental stage of devotional service. Very interesting what was going on in Navadvip at the time that Advaita Acharya, he wasn't born in Navadvip. He went there at the age of 12 to study because he knew the Lord was coming. And Srimati Lakshmi Devi, Goddess Saraswati, blessed Navadvip in a very extraordinary way. There was incredible opulence there. And it was an amazing center of learning. So many scholars were there. The problem is that even though it was so opulent, and even though there was so much learning there, there was a trace of bhakti. People were so absorbed in materialistic ideas and arguing back and forth with logic. And they were doing very strange things. It was a very degraded time, actually, even though there was so much opulence there. And people were marrying. They just loved to have these huge festivals. And they would spend lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of rupees on these festivals. Did they have rupees 500 years ago? Probably not. No, right? Were there rupees? Anyway, whatever the coinage was, lakhs of it. And then when they ran out of family members to marry, they would marry animals. And then they would marry dolls. It was just like, get something married. You know, let's have a festival. They were performing tantric activities for all kinds of things. So the small group of Vaishnavas, their hearts were burning to see this. And Advaita Acharya started a school there. But actually before he did that, he journeyed to South India. And along the way, he heard this extraordinary discourse, something he'd never heard before about the pastimes of Shri Shri Radha Krishna. And so sometimes we forget that before Madhavendra Puripad, that there was not this understanding of these intimate rasas, and so people had some understanding of serving the Lord, some mood of neutrality. So when Advaita Acharya heard these, he went into ecstasy, actually fainted. When he opened his eyes, there was this very beautiful personality standing in front of him, gazing at him with so much affection and tears in his eyes. And this was Madhavendra Puri. And when he looked up, he couldn't stop looking at him, and he felt in his heart, this is my guru. And he got up and he started dancing and chanting, and they fell into each other's arms and fell on the ground in ecstasy. And he took initiation from Sri Madhavendra Puri. And then he went back to Navadvip and he opened his school. And the Vaishnavas this was their only refuge in this school of Advaita Acharya, who was teaching the science of the Bhagavat according to the devotional mood. Nowhere else was this going on. In fact, they were inimical. They were seriously inimical to the devotees. You know, when we think about how difficult it was for Srila Prabhupada to try to establish Krishna consciousness in the West and in Europe, and how many problems, you can hear it in the lectures, you know, or the conversations Prabhupada's discussing. So you went to court, and what did the judge say? And this, and so there was tremendous harassment at the time that's not spoken about so much. And there was a point that Advaita Acharya became so angry. He said, I am going to manifest my forearm form. I'm going to take my Sudarshan chakra and I'm going to kill them all. But he didn't do that, fortunately, or we wouldn't be here. And instead, he read in the Shastra Skanda Purana, perhaps, that if one worships the Shalagram Shila with tulsi leaves and Ganga Jal, that it... Gautamiya Tantra, thank you. That his heart's desires will be fulfilled. So he went to the bank of the Ganga, and he began to pray. And Srila Prabhupada said that his calls were trumpet-like. Sometimes he wept. Sometimes he called out so loudly, and the sound of those calls were so heartfelt, so intense, that they went beyond all the coverings of the material universe, and they reached the heart of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada describes that a Vaishnav means somebody who feels for the suffering of the conditioned souls and whose life is given to try to alleviate that suffering. And we know how that is done, through giving this gift of bhakti and service and reigniting that flame of love which is in all of our hearts, as Kali Pani Prabhu is reminding us. So he called for the Lord with such intensity, and we're reminded, because all these personalities give us examples of how to approach the Lord, we're reminded that our calling to the Lord also has to be with this kind of intensity, fervor, desire. You know, what do we really want? What do we really, really want? And as we get older, we start to think, I've been talking about love of God for, I've been hearing about love of God for 20, 30, 40 years, and I'm not experiencing it as I'm reading about it. Will I ever experience it? And, you know, we begin to understand that we really need the mercy of the Lord. We really need the mercy of the Lord. So these appearance days, of course, every day is a chance to access the mercy of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada is our connection. He came to connect us to this unlimited line of incredible mercy. And so sometimes the very difficult situations that come to us in our life, they stop us from our pushing forward in the material world to try to get, to try to have or acquire or whatever it is that we're propelled by the modes of material nature. And sometimes the difficulties become very, very great, and we can feel quite overwhelmed by them. And it's at those times that we usually find ourselves having to go very, very deep to access where is that strength, where is that mercy, where is that line of connection, so that we can keep going. And actually, that is considered a great blessing, although none of us like going through these things. When we get to the other side of them, we realize that some things have fallen from the heart, and that our chanting is a little deeper, our prayers are a little more genuine. And so those who are very serious about the path of bhakti, when these difficulties come, they actually welcome them as opportunities. So we're going to, what is our time? I'll give you one little story. When Adwaitacharya went to Vrindavan, he actually had a dream that a deity, there were many deities who were hidden because of different invaders. And so a lovely deity, Madan Gopal, spoke to him and said, I'm in the bushes and I want to be worshipped and you should come and get me. And so he did. And he engaged two Brahmins in worshipping this lovely deity of Madan Mohan. And then one day the Brahmins came and said, and said, Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu, he's gone. The Titi is gone. And so Advaita Acharya Prabhu was very concerned, and in meditation a vision came, and the Lord said, there were some Pathans coming, some Muslims coming. He said, so I took the form of Gopal and I left myself this time. I didn't wait for someone to hide me. He said, so I'll tell you where I am. He said, but actually I want to go to Mathura. I want to go with this Brahmin who's going to be coming here in a few days, and I want to go to Mathura. It's safer there. I think I'll go there. So, and also because I ran away in my form of Gopal, I want to be called now Madan Gopal, Madan Mahang, Madan Gopal. So he went there, and then eventually he appeared to Sanatana Goswami and came back to Vrindavan and just became Madan Mohan once again. So one of the great difficulties of Advaita Acharya coming first, because he was actually 52 years old when Lord Chaitanya came. So he was quite senior. So you know, that's the etiquette, is that you respect somebody senior. And Lord Chaitanya took full advantage. He was always taking dust from the feet of Advaita Acharya, and Advaita Acharya was forever getting so upset because he wanted to be the servant. So there was this wonderful... Can you imagine what the atmosphere would be here if we were all fighting each other to serve each other? And people would be beating down our doors to come. You know, the atmosphere would be so, so sweet. So this is such a wonderful opportunity to hear these pastimes and become inspired in that mood of seva. So we're going to be reading one of the pastimes where Advaita Acharya Prabhu finds a way to make sure that he can become the humble servant once again of the Lord. So there was one situation where he was chanting very beautiful prayers to Lord Vishnu. The Lord just loves to hear his devotees chanting with love. And when Lord Chaitanya came, he actually fainted. He felt so happy in his heart. So Advaita Acharya took that opportunity. So then when he got up, he said, this is later. So then he got up and he said, you are the greatest benefactor. You are glorifying Krishna with so much devotion. And he took the dust from his feet. And Advaita Acharya Prabhu said, no, my Lord, please, it's not good. You shouldn't do this. So soon after, there was a wonderful kirtan, and Lord Chaitanya fainted in ecstasy, and Advaita Acharya Prabhu took the opportunity to take the dust from his feet. So when the Lord awoke, he said, something has happened. Someone has taken something from me. I do not feel the same ecstasy in my heart. I'm feeling empty in my heart. And so, who has done this? And of course, all the devotees, they were just quiet. They were getting so nervous. And Advaita Acharya Prabhu could see this, and he said, I am the thief. And so, Lord Chaitanya, he said, then the one who is plundered will now plunder. And so he grabbed Advaita Acharya Prabhu's lotus feet and took the dust and put it all over his body. And of course, Advaita Acharya Prabhu couldn't do anything. He was 52 years old. It's not as if he could outrun Lord Chaitanya. So that's another instruction for us as well. You know, we think that this is figurative, taking the dust from the feet of great Vaishnavas, but it's actually very, very powerful to take the dust. And the Lord himself is taking, he says in the 11th canto, I follow behind my devotees and I take their dust. And this is how I have the potency to do what I do. Imagine. So if the Lord himself wants to take the dust of the feet of his devotees, imagine our great benefit. So when Lord Chaitanya, we're going to read a pastime. When Lord Chaitanya manifested, began to show himself who he was and what he had come for. There's a wonderful pastime which happened in the home of Srivas Thakur, and so we're going to read that for you. Thank you.
Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur prays, glory, glory to Lord Chaitanya, who is conquered by the love of Advaita and the other devotees. O Lord, please give me the gift of pure devotional service. Please deliver this poor and wretched person.
Maybe we can repeat all that. Maybe we can repeat that last line all together. Could you read it for just that last sentence? And just use a plural form, we could all pray.
Okay, the words are, please deliver this poor and wretched person.
So we'll say us. Please deliver we poor. How could we say that?
Well, everybody's speaking subjectively.
All right, so we'll just repeat it as is.
So please, we say together, we're going to say, please deliver this poor and wretched person. My dear Lord, please deliver this poor and wretched person.
And isn't there something else about the gift of devotional service there, or did I... What's the other part?
We'll begin reading.
Yeah? Okay. Well, we all know what we're praying for in our heart. Okay.
Happily, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda proceeded towards Shantipur along the bank of the Ganga. As they walked, Lord Chaitanya loudly and repeatedly roared, I am that! I am that person! Nara has awakened me from sleep and brought me here. He is, I believe, camouflaging the process of devotional service behind a facade of flowery words that present the speculative path of knowledge. Today I will punish him for this. While the Lord thus thunderously rumbled on in this manner, Lord Nityananda kept his silence, smiling within his mind. Advaita knew that the Lord would react angrily to his presenting the theory of speculative philosophy. When he realized that Chaitanya and Nityananda had come to Shantipur, he began to speak more forcefully on impersonalism.
Lord Nityananda accompanied Lord Chaitanya into Advaita's house. Advaita swayed in divine pleasure, playing out his part perfectly as an impersonalist. Haridas Thakur offered obeisances to the Lord, falling on the ground like a rod. Achyuta, Advaita's son, also offered his respectful obeisances. Advaita's wife, Sita Devi, offered obeisances to the Lord in her mind and felt very upset seeing the Lord's countenance. The Lord's face and expression aroused fear in everyone's heart. Rumbling with anger, the Lord said,
Hey, you, Nara! Tell me which is superior, speculative knowledge or devotional service?
Advaita replied, speculative knowledge is always superior. What is the use of devotional service if a person is devoid of jnana? As soon as these words entered his ears, Lord Chaitanya became inflamed. He forgot his surroundings. He pulled Advaita out of the seat, dragged him on the patio, threw him on the ground, and struck him again and again.
Advaita's wife, Sita Devi, is the universal mother who knows all these confidential topics, yet she could not restrain herself from trying to stop the Lord.
Stop! Stop! He is an old Brahmin. For whose benefit do you chastise him so heavily? He may not survive your harsh behavior, and you will find it difficult to avoid the consequences of your actions.
While Lord Nityananda smiled at her words, Haridas Thakur repeated Krishna's name in great fear.
Lord Chaitanya was so angry, he did not even hear Sita Devi's words. Roaring like thunder, he spoke to Advaita.
I was gently relaxing on the milk ocean, and you interrupted my sleep, calling me to attend to your work. You engineered the propagation of devotional service, yet now you audaciously obscure the devotional process with this circumvent explanation of impersonalism. If you had already made up your mind to surreptitiously broadcast your speculative theories, then why did you take the trouble of revealing me to the world? I did not disregard your desire and wishes, but you have deceived me in all respects.
At long last, Lord Chaitanya stopped chastising Advaita and sat next to the doorway. He spoke loudly, revealing his real identity to all.
Oh, Nara, you know everything. Behold, I am the one who slew Kamsa. Shiva, Brahma, Anantashesh, Lakshmi Devi are all constantly engaged in serving me. I lifted the Govardhan mountain with my left hand. It is I who brought the heavenly Parijata flower to earth. I tricked King Bali out of all his possessions and then benedicted him for his mood of surrender. And I also vanquished the terrible demon king Hiranyakashipu simply to favor my devotee Prahlad.
As the Lord revealed his various pastimes, Advaita gradually submerged in an ocean of bliss.
Advaita was more than happy to receive his due punishment in this manner, and he clapped his hands and pranced in joy, feeling peace and humility within. He said,
"My Lord, you have rightly chastised me, and I am feeling the renewed strength in my relationship with you as your servant."
Advaita danced around in ecstasy, and then, creasing his eyebrows together, he placed these words before the Lord.
"Now, where are your flattering words about me? What has happened to all that deceit? I am your humble and eternal servant. I am always hankering, birth after birth, to receive your remnants. And by the effect of your remnants, I am unscathed by the ravages of your illusory potency. The punishment is now over. Please give me the shelter of your lotus feet."
Saying this, Advaita, the master of Shantipur, fell to the ground and placed his head on the Lord's lotus feet. Hastily and with due respect, Lord Vishambhar picked up Advaita on his lap, and tears flooded the Lord's eyes, cascading down unrestrained. Lord Nityananda and Haridas were unable to contain their ecstatic emotions at the sight of such a display of divine devotional fervor, and tears flowed down from their eyes in rivers. Sita Devi, Achyutananda, and the servants of the house were crying in intense joy. Advaita's whole house became immersed in love of Godhead.
Lord Vishvambhar now felt ashamed at having chastised Advaita so severely. He wanted to compensate by offering him a boon. He said,
"If anyone so much as takes a little shelter at your feet, be he an insect, worm, animal, or bird, and even if he commits a million offenses against me, I will still grant him my benediction." When Advaita heard this boon, he fell at the Lord's feet, and crying like a child, he said,
"Whatever you have said, my Lord, is certainly true. If anyone tries to follow and worship me, but does not serve your lotus feet, then let that so-called devotion to me vanquish him. I cannot accept anyone who does not serve you. He may be my son, my servant, but I shall consider him a great offender. I shall never see his face. I cannot bear to see anyone neglect your lotus feet. Those who worship you automatically become my dearest friend." Lord Chaitanya greatly appreciated Advaita's highly confidential and esoteric prayers, and he spoke out in a voice that resembled a thunderclap.
"Now listen to me attentively. I say truly, those who worship me directly but neglect my servants and devotees are most despicable wretches. Their worship is like burning cinders on my body. Every living entity is my servant, and so I cannot tolerate any violence to them. I destroy anyone who tries to hurt my servants. What to speak of you, Advaita, you are more dear to me than my own body, and any disrespect shown to you is severely dealt with by me."
Raising both his arms, Lord Gaurachandra declared to the world,
"Give up the offensive attitude of criticizing Vaishnavas and chant Lord Krishna's holy name."
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Next, a brief drop of nectar. It's a short pastime, and I'll again read Sri Vrindavan Das's prayer. Glory, glory to Lord Chaitanya, who is conquered by the love of Advaita and the other devotees. O Lord, please give me the gift of pure devotional service. Please deliver this poor and wretched person. Rupa and Sanatan, they are just now surrendering to Lord Chaitanya. The scene is the Lord Chaitanya is sitting and he's surrounded by all his associates. And these two apparent Muslims, Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik, they enter and Lord Chaitanya said to them, you two brothers are most fortunate, for you have been able to sever the chains that bind one to family life and material existence. The entire world is shackled to family life and mundane relationships, and you've been successful in breaking away from all of that. Now, if you sincerely desire to enter spiritual life and gain prema bhakti, then fall and catch the hold of the lotus feet of Sri Advaita Acharya. Sri Acharya is a repository of bhakti, and by his grace one obtains devotion to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Hearing this, the two great souls, Rupa and Sanatan, fell at the feet of Sri Acharya and prayed, all glory to Sri Advaita Acharya, the deliverer of the fallen souls. Kindly save these two fallen, wretched souls. Sri Gauranga said, my dear Acharya, kindly listen. You will not find such renounced and saintly souls as these two in the Kali Yuga. Turning their backs on royal comforts and pleasures, they have taken up the water pots and blankets of itinerant sadhus. Now they live in Mathur Vrindavan and constantly chant Sri Krishna's holy name. Without hesitation, inundate their hearts with Krishna bhakti, so that they never forget Sri Krishna birth after birth. You are the supervisor of the treasure house of bhakti. And if you do not award bhakti, then who can obtain Krishna bhakti? The association of the devotees of Krishna and Krishna himself. Sri Advaita replied, my lord, it is you who are the most generous benefactor of this world. As soon as you order, I will immediately give. I am just a keeper of your treasury of bhakti, and my duty is to execute your orders, which I follow with my body, mind, and words. Therefore, I wish that these two fortunate souls be swathed in the nectar ocean of prema bhakti. Hearing this, the Supreme Lord, Sri Gaurahari, who was extremely jubilant, began to chant loudly the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Again, Sri Vrindavan Das prays, glory, glory to Lord Chaitanya, who is conquered by the love of Advaita and the other devotees. O Lord, please give me the gift of pure devotional service. Please deliver this poor and wretched person.
So this is the last pastime we'll read, and just something very nice. I don't know how many of you know this, but Srila Prabhupada played Advaitacharya in a play. And when the play was finished, nobody clapped. And Srila Prabhupada was wondering why nobody clapped, and he looked out in the audience and they were crying. So that is our Srila Prabhupada, who beautifully played the part of Sri Advaita Acharya, came to us out of his causeless mercy to deliver the seed of bhakti. So I made a little mistake. This past time we were actually should have read first, but the devotees are forgiving and you don't like me apologizing, so. So this is the one about when the Lord manifests his form as the personality of God, and we see the beginning. One day, Lord Chaitanya, exhibiting the mood of the Supreme Lord, ordered the younger brother of Shrivas Pandit.
Ramai, go to Advaita Acharya's house and inform him of my appearance. Tell him that the person he has worshipped for so long, the person he wept for, the person he fasted for, that same Lord has now appeared. He has come to distribute knowledge of loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Also tell him about Nityananda Prabhu's arrival. But do it secretly and explain to him everything you have seen. Tell him to come immediately, along with his wife, and bring all the paraphernalia for my worship.
Ramai started for Advaita Acharya's house, absorbed in remembrance of the Supreme Lord. Although he didn't even know the way, somehow, by divine guidance, he arrived at Advaita Acharya's house. Offering his obeisances to Advaita Acharya Prabhu, he was overcome with great joy and could not speak. Advaita Acharya Prabhu spoke to Ramai sweetly, saying,
I know you have instructions to take me to Navadvip.
Ramai Pandit folded his hands and said, you already know everything, so please come quickly with me. Advaita Acharya Prabhu then strongly questioned Ramai Pandit.
Now, in which scripture is it mentioned that the Supreme Lord Sri Hari will descend to Navadvip in a human form for the redemption of the fallen conditioned souls? Oh, Ramai, your elder brother, Shrivas Pandit, knows my standard of devotion, renunciation, and self-realization.
Ramai Pandit was well aware of Advaita Acharya Prabhu's spiritual powers. He remained quiet, smiling within. Again, Advaita Acharya Prabhu asked,
Oh, Ramai, please tell me why you have come here so suddenly.
When Ramai Pandit felt that Advaita Acharya had calmed down, he began to cry while delivering Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. When Ramai Pandit delivered this message, Advaita Acharya Prabhu swooned in ecstasy. Lifting his hands, he began to cry, and suddenly, to everyone's amazement, he fell unconscious. Shortly after, he regained his external consciousness. He began to roar loudly, and he said,
I have brought my Lord. The Lord has left his supreme abode in the Vaikuntha planets and appeared here in answer to my prayers.
Saying this, he fell to the ground weeping. Hearing the news of the Lord's advent, the chaste wife of Advaita Acharya Prabhu, Sri Sita Devi, who is respected as the mother of the entire universe, began to weep joyfully. Advaita Acharya began preparing for the journey.
Get ready immediately. Collect the different paraphernalia for worship and let us proceed.
Sita Devi was a chaste and dedicated woman. She had full knowledge of the truth about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and appearance. She collected incense, garlands, scented oils, cloves, sweet condensed milk, yogurt cream, butter, camphor, and betel nut for worship. Advaita Acharya then left with his wife and told Ramai Pandit,
Do not tell the Lord that I have come. I want to find out the response of the Lord, for I will hide in Nanda Acharya's house.
Understanding that Advaita Acharya Prabhu had arrived in Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya proceeded to Shrivas Pandit's house. By the arrangement of the Lord, all of the devotees met there. Upon seeing the Lord, In a contemplative mood, the devotees were quiet, apprehensive. Suddenly the Lord rose up and he began to roar like a lion. He went to sit on the seat of Sri Vishnu, which was on the altar, and he began shouting.
Nara has come! Nara has come! I know Nara wants to test whether I am actual Supreme Lord, the Supersoul within everyone's heart.
Nityananda Prabhu understood all of Lord Chaitanya's moods. He picked up the umbrella and held it over the Lord's head. Gadadhar Pandit, who was also perceptive of the Lord's moods, offered him camphor and pan leaf. All of the devotees followed and worshipped the Lord with various ingredients. Some offered prayers to the Lord, while others rendered different services. Amidst all these activities, Ramai Pandit returned. Before Ramai could speak, the Lord said,
Nara has sent you to test me.
The Lord shook his head gently and said,
Although Nara knows me well, he always tries to test me. He is here in Navadvip at Nandanacharya's house, and he has sent you here to test me. Go quickly and bring him here immediately.
Ramai happily went back to Advaita Acharya Prabhu and narrated everything in detail to him. Advaita Acharya felt so blissful hearing of these incidences which had just taken place. He wanted the whole earth to know that Lord Chaitanya was the Supersoul and the all-potent, supreme personality of Godhead. Advaita Acharya and his wife then approached the Lord, offering repeated obeisances from a great distance while chanting hymns in praise of the Lord. The beauty of millions upon millions of cupids seemed pale and ordinary next to the beauty of the Lord. His golden complexion was effulgent, and his blissful face was beaming like millions of glowing full moons. The Lord looked down upon Advaita Acharya with such affection. Golden pillars were no match against the graceful and powerful arms of the Lord, and the ornaments that decorated his arms paled any gems. His breast was marked with Srivats, and the great Kastuba jewel hung loosely from his neck. From his ears dangled fish-shaped earrings, and around his neck swung the Vijayanti garland. His unlimited mighty power and brilliance outshone millions of suns. And he played the flute in a most exquisite pose, bending in three places with a charming smile upon his lips.
Advaita Acharya Prabhu saw everything glowing all around the Lord. He also saw the four-headed Lord Brahma, the five-headed Lord Shiva, and the six-headed Lord Kartikeya offering him obeisances, while Narada Muni and Shukadeva Goswami recited prayers reverently. Ganga Devi was offering the Lord obeisances seated upon a chariot. All around, the demigods were offering eulogies and prayers to the Lord. Turning around, he saw that hundreds and hundreds of demigods were flat on the ground, offering their obeisances and repeating Lord Krishna's name. Seeing these wonderful sights, Advaita Acharya Prabhu lifted himself up from his prostrated position, overcome with awe and reverence.
There was not an empty space left in sky or land. In every direction there were beings offering prayers. Great sages offered prayers to the Lord. And overwhelmed upon seeing this scene, Advaita Acharya and his wife simply stood there, speechless. Lord Vishvambar, the all-merciful, supreme Godhead, looked at Advaita Acharya Prabhu and said,
I have descended to this earth because of your vow and your constant devotional service and worship. I was resting on the ocean of milk, and your roaring woke me up. You're so merciful that you could not bear the sufferings of humanity, and so you have brought me here to alleviate their sufferings. All these demigods, sages, devotees, and associates who surround me have appeared in answer to your prayers. You have arranged for all living entities to see these great devotees, of whom even Lord Brahma is constantly thinking.
Hearing these wonderful words from the Lord's mouth, Adwaita Acharya lifted his hands and wept along with his wife. Today, my life has become successful. O Lord, I am incapable of anything. Everything is made of your mercy. Who else but you can liberate the living entities? Tears rolled down Adwaita Acharya's face as he spoke. The Lord said,
Now perform my worship. Having received this instruction, Advaita Acharya Prabhu began to worship the Lord's lotus feet in great ecstasy. O my Lord,
you are the well-wisher of the cows and the Brahmins,
and you are the well-wisher of the entire human society and the world. All glories to the Lord of everyone's heart, Lord Vishvambhar. All glories to Lord Gaurachandra, the ocean of mercy. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the source of all incarnations. All glories to Lord Vishvambhar, who is propagating the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to him, for he manifests the pastimes of a pure devotee just to teach the living entities the process of surrendered devotional service unto him. All glories to Sri Mahaprabhu, who lies on the bed of Ananta Shesh. All glories to the only supreme shelter of all living entities. You are Lord Ramachandra, the life of Mother Janaki, and the destroyer of all the demons.
You appeared as Lord Nrsimhadev just to protect your beloved devotee, Prahlad.
The four Vedas search for you, and even though you conceal yourself from the Vedas, you have mercifully appeared here in Navadvip. O Lord, You are most expert in hiding yourself, but your pure devotees are just as expert at finding you out and revealing you.
The holy Ganga emanates from your lotus feet, and Lord Shiva feels greatly fortunate to hold her waters upon his head. Drenched in his own tears, Adwaita Acharya Prabhu glorified the Lord and fell prostrate before him, seeking shelter under his lotus feet. Lord Gauranga is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He lifted his lotus feet and placed them upon Adwaita Acharya Prabhu's head. Seeing this, all the devotees began to glorify the Lord with jubilant sounds of victory. They swooned with joy, and they fill the air with sounds of the Lord's holy name. Hari!
Hari!
Hari! Lord Chaitanya instructed Adwaita Acharya Prabhu,
O Nara, sing my glories and dance in kirtan.
Adwaita Acharya Prabhu began to dance with so much devotion. Sometimes his dancing became sprite-like, and in other times he danced gracefully with delicate movements. Sometimes he was very humble, moving about holding a straw between his teeth. Sometimes he spun around, jumped in the air, fell on the ground, rolling back and forth.
Advaita Acharya Prabhu then ran to Lord Chaitanya's side. Seeing Lord Nityananda, he buckled his eyebrows, and Nityananda Prabhu began to laugh. Advaita Acharya Prabhu said, It is wonderful that you are here, Nittai. For a long time I have seen no trace of you. Now, if you try to go anywhere, I will tie you up.
Lord Nityananda laughed at Advaitacharya Prabhu's demeanor, though now in Chaitanya Leela, they have appeared in two different forms. In the pastimes of Sri Krishna, they are the same personality.
Only the most fortunate can understand that in this incarnation, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaitacharya Prabhu are non-different. The manner in which they served Lord Chaitanya with great ecstasy is similar in mood to the service of Lord Anantashesh and Lord Shiva.
The dancing of Advaitacharya Prabhu mesmerized the devotees, filled their hearts with joy. When Lord Chaitanya instructed Advaitacharya Prabhu to stop dancing, he immediately sat down, accepting the Lord's instruction with utmost respect. Lord Chaitanya then garlanded Advaitacharya with the garland from his own neck, and smiling, he said,
"Ask for a boon, Advaitacharya."
Advaitacharya remained quiet.
"Ask for a boon."
Advaitacharya replied, "What more of a boon can I ask for? What I wanted, I have received. I have seen you in person. It is all that matters. You know everything. You know what I want. You know what I don't want." Inclining his head to one side, Lord Vishvambhar said,
"I have appeared because of you. I will propagate the chanting of the holy name in every home, so that the entire universe may dance, singing my glories. I promise that I will distribute Krishna Prema to everyone. That devotional service which is desired, worshipped and meditated upon by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Narada Muni will now be given freely."
Advaitacharya Prabhu said, "If you distribute Krishna Prema, then give it also to the women, the sudras, the fallen, the ignorant people. Yet those simple people who become intoxicated with material learning, wealth and family, no. Those who will not respect your devotees or the process of devotional service, no. Let them burn in the fire of their own false ego. But everyone else, the chandalas, everyone, let them dance in ecstasy chanting your holy name." Appreciating the words of Advaitacharya, the Lord roared loudly,
"Everything you have said is truth. Let the entire world bear witness to your mercy."
To your mercy.
Thus writes Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Advaita Acharya ki jai. Shri Shri Pancha Tattva ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanand.
Hare Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna.